Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the AI Movie Night Podcast. Yes, I'm hosting this one, but I do have the current host on the show as well. Jessel, welcome. Welcome to your own show.
Thanks, Gags. I've been overthrown already.
I know. And then I had the audacity to call you back and make you a guest on it as well.
It's like Zidane going back to Real Madrid.
Oh, man, Jesus. That's some high company there, mate. That's some big shoes to fill, eh? For anybody. So this podcast is all going to be about the brand new and what looks like already going to be on its way to a blockbuster, Captain Marvel, from Marvel Studios. And there's only really one guy, Marvel comic DC, well, he's probably more DC really, comic guy to get involved in this is Joey Connors. Joey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. That's a lot to live up to, but I'm doing well.
Yeah, I was right. You do prefer DC.
I think DC Comics, obviously, I prefer, not movies.
Yeah, movies, obviously, they've gone down
there. I mean, like, my favorite characters, like, if I did a top 10, I would say that it's probably half and half, 5 DC, 5 Marvel. But I like a lot of other comics, too, like Dark Horse and Vertigo, stuff like that, which people probably have no idea what I'm talking about, so I'll just stop now.
Wow, that's a podcast for the future. And
we will be
doing something around the entertainment part of pods and stuff. There's more news on that later, though. Jessel, we're going to listen to Joey to start with. Normally, what we do is we just jump straight into the movie. But what we want to do, guys, with this one, because it's a bit special, because Joey knows so much about the comic lore of this character and also, obviously, everything surrounding it, that we just thought we'd start with Joey first. And Joey, go into more the comic book side of things first and foremost before we talk about the movie, because then it gives the listener and it gives myself and Jessel a little bit of background, what originally, how she's been portrayed, and obviously any kind of background knowledge we can get. So talk to us first about what you know about Captain Marvel, and obviously we can go on to plenty of other stuff as well.
Okay, so like I said before the pod, this is very difficult because Captain Marvel was actually introduced in 1968, Stan Lee character. The original Captain Marvel was a man. Captain Marvel, the name, has gone through loads and loads and loads of different characters. The one in this movie, this Captain Marvel movie, happens to be Carol Danvers. Carol Danvers was the seventh person to play Captain Marvel. She was not the original female, which is the funny part. And I'll get to that a little later. I can get to that now. But Carol Danvers was actually Miss Marvel, if you're still with me. Miss Marvel was different than Captain Marvel. She did not take on the mantle of Captain Marvel until 2012. So she was Miss Marvel, I believe, in 1977 was the first Miss Marvel that came out. Great comic book. although they're outdated at this point, obviously, if you're reading any stuff today. But Carol Danvers, again, Carol Danvers, keep messing her name up, she got her power sort of how the movie was explained. It's definitely, she's mixed, you know, she's not, it didn't happen that way, how she shot the, whatever you want to call that, the engine that the Tesseract. Tesseract had nothing to do with it. That just has to play into the movie because it plays into all the other, obviously with the last, in the Infinity Stone, which we know is, that's what that one is, but it plays into the last Avengers movie. She is definitely Kree. Now Mar-Vell, who Annette Bening played in the movie, in the comic book, that's a man. Her name, I believe, in the movie is, when you guys want to help me out, I forget. I think it's,
Dawson, isn't it?
Lawson. Wendy, it's that's Wendy, Lawson. Wendy something.
Lawson, yeah, Wendy, Lawson.
Lawson, yeah.
Wendy Lawson. So in the comic book, that character is Walter Larson. Again, they just swapped. There's a lot of feminism going on, obviously, in this movie, which is totally cool. I'm all for that. I love the movie. I thought it was very good. Just as I loved, Wonder Woman. I still do. Shout out to Dan Kennett, who said he loved it as well and got dogs abuse for it, but it's actually a great movie.
I thought it was better than this, but we can get to that later.
Yeah, I thought it was too. But, yeah. So Air Force of Pegasus, that stuff was all entwined. But for the movie purpose, they just have to change little things. Now, that's her background. Guys, I can get into how she was not the first female to play Captain Marvel.
Mm.
She was not the first female. Do you guys know who the first female was?
No, who was it?
Okay. So the one part of the movie I had an issue with, was that her quote unquote best friend was Maria Rambeau,
mm-hmm.
played by, I think that was Lashana Lynch, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't really friends in the comics at all. So I understand why she's got to have a friend, and it's a tough heroine, and you know, she's a super badass when she's flying the plane. But here's the thing. The original female Captain Marvel was her daughter.
What?
Monica. Yes. That I've been saving that to talk about that all day to you, my friend, and I didn't tell you. But that little girl is the original from 1982 comics. She led the Avengers at one point. She was made an Avenger by Captain America. Like I said, she led them for a long time. But that little girl was the first Captain Marvel, not Brie Larson. So it was a little, listen, Brie Larson was great. I have no problem with the movie. It was good. But a little part of that, being a comic book dork that I am, and I'll probably get shit for saying this, but it would have been maybe nice to take it from, now I do think they're going to use that character.
They are, because she's a kid there and she's going to be like 30 years old in current.
Well, that's it. If you go the between, that's the thing, because between 40, the,
something like that, yeah.
No, she'll be 35. You have it dead right, because between that movie, between Captain Marvel, and between the new Avengers movie, that's a 25-year gap. So she would be 35. So they're going to use her at some point. But my whole thing was why couldn't you use the original African-American? And maybe, and listen, I'm not a PC guy where everything offends me. I'm not that guy. But the part of me when I was watching the movie, and I, like I said, Brie Larson killed it. She did very good. And I think she's going to be an awesome character going forward. But they could have used the original African-American one, who was, like I said, it's Monica Rambeau, who was the daughter of Maria, who Maria isn't really anything. Monica is a badass and gets her powers almost the same way. I won't explain the whole thing because it'll get really dorky and too long, but gets her powers kind of the same way that Miss Marvel, Carol Danvers, gets hers. So that's something I didn't know if you guys knew. But that, I don't know if that bothered you guys at all, or if it bothers you now to hear that. But that is, she was not the first one. So that kind of, for me, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Let's ask Jessel what his thoughts are on that. Jessel, my mouth was wide open when he just told me that. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, in terms of the sort of lore of Captain Marvel, I know absolutely nothing. I know a lot more about other Marvel characters, but definitely not Captain Marvel. In terms of whether I think I think they're playing it strategically. You know, Kevin Feige knows what he's doing, and
of course.
I'm sure that, you know, because this phase is coming to an end in Endgame, and after that you're going to have a new set of characters. A lot of these ones will have been killed off as well. I mean, the other thing that I'll get to is Brie Larson has signed up for, I think, 7 films. It's a 7-film deal. So this is one of them. Then the Avengers one will be another one. There's still 5 more. She'll kind of come in and out of things. And I'm sure there are other characters who are going to step up to the plate and replace them. You know, you've already got Black Panther from last year. His little sister's going to be huge. I think she'll be like the Tony Stark kind of figure moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I think strategically, Disney are really good at this. So I have every confidence. And but I get what you're saying. But I mean, for me, obviously, I wouldn't know that, not being like a huge comic book fan or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because she actually at one point retires the Captain Marvel name and becomes many different people, Photon, Pulsar, and she's currently in the comics now, which started in 2013. She became Spectrum. Again, stuff that people are probably going, why the fuck does this guy keep talking about this? But for people like me, and I think that's why a lot of people gave it backlash. I didn't personally, but you got those dumb people who were giving it bad reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, if you don't like the movie because you didn't like the movie, so be it. But if you didn't like it because of that purpose, I was a little, it's like, you know, I get for marketing purposes why you did it. What's going to sell more at the movies? Brie Larson or some random woman? The other big thing I wanted to touch on to kind of move away from her that bothered me a little bit is the Kree Skrull thing. Now, they've been two alien species who have been at war forever. The Kree are what they said they were in that movie. They are definitely, if you don't agree to what we do, we're going to suppress you. We've done that before, yada, yada, yada. But they made the Skrulls out to be this, like, they have to be protected by Captain Marvel, which is just not true. They're very powerful in their own right.
They do seem powerful in the movie, too.
Yes, they
seem really powerful, but obviously,
where it goes.
Yeah, it was weird how... Yeah.
They essentially use the Tesseract you know, to the enhanced light speed engine, and there's a reason why they're doing that, I'm sure, which again, like Jezel said, there's 5 other movies. I'm sure she'll end up fighting them both because there's actually 2 Kree Skrull wars. So that bothered me a little bit. And I think it bothered comic book fans too, because it was like, well, you're making them out to be the good guys and neither races are good at all. I mean, they're known for literally like war and killing and, you know, doing it. They kind of survive, and
I was going to
they've
ask
been
that.
Fighting each other.
Kree came off looking worse
for years.
I was going to say that.
The
Kree came off looking worse.
That's not true, though.
And the Skrulls came off looking good, but I sense that the second film may have more twists.
I think so too.
And also, if I can just interject, you know, if you take Star Wars as a template for certain things, how feelings can change over time towards different people, you know, the Jedi are kind of sacrosanct. They're always the good guys, blah, blah, blah. But then they end up making loads of mistakes and then other people start taking power and this and that. So people's feelings towards the heroes can change. You know, you're only ever like one mistake away from being a hero or a villain in these kind of films. So if the Skrulls are kind of, you know, I took it as more of a political commentary on the current landscape, that they're kind of, you know, suppressed by a dominant power who are the Kree, and they are, you know, made out to be terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. And then actually, once Captain Marvel comes out of that whole gaslighting situation and sort of starts to remember things and realize things for herself, she realizes, okay, maybe I've been lied to, you know. So I think that's why they maybe took that current path right now. Then in the future, they can always change it and adapt it to however they need to.
Very true.
I didn't apply current affairs really to the thinking of that. That's very good, Jessel. It's a good point. It's a good way of thinking about the story as well, how that happens. That happens all the time, you know, in the current climate in the world. You know, so that's a really, really good point. Obviously, another big part of this movie was Fury, Joey. Now, how much does he appear in Captain Marvel, you know, comics and stuff? Because obviously, they needed something to link, you know, Carol Danvers with the Avengers, and this is the way they've done it in the movie. So, it'd be interesting to know how. If there's anything, you know, in that, in comics.
Well, Nick Fury was invented, if you want to say that word, created is probably the better word, by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby in 1963. So he's kind of like the OG of doing stuff like that. Now, there are comic book arcs, but there's not really any, I wouldn't say, concrete like Nick Fury and Captain Marvel team-up things that I'm aware of anyway. But he definitely has, you know, the way their relationship in that was excellent, I thought. But I wouldn't say there's really, not really any, you know, how they met wasn't really, you know, that, again, that's for the movie. Do you know what I mean? That
absolutely. It's a must for the movie I think it's a must to just try and link into Endgame. It was at times, and like we'll move into, because obviously you've made it clear there wasn't anything kind of like a big relationship in comics or anything like that. But let's move on to the movie then. Just what I felt at times, this was a big, big lead-in movie just for Endgame. Just for the forced, obviously Fury parts and stuff with her. But I mean, it was done very well. But in the end, it feels like at times it's just a big, big setup, you know, and we're probably going to see the best of Brie Larson, or maybe, you know, a lot of the good stuff in Endgame.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, I have to say, well, before anything, we have to say R.A.P. to Stan Lee. I loved the initial tribute to him. I think everyone in the people just started clapping, frankly, in the cinema. It was brilliant. So,
his appearance was nice as well, and she smiles at him.
Yeah, and he's actually reading the script to Mallrats, because he was in that film, wasn't he? He made a cameo.
which is a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I stopped watching trailers a couple of years ago for exactly this kind of reason. And I tell you what, I haven't seen the Game of Thrones trailer. I haven't seen the Endgame trailer. I've stopped watching pretty much every trailer for the last couple of years. And it helps me so much, because I really didn't know a lot about Captain Marvel at all. So I've come into this so fresh and so untainted in so many ways that when I just sat down in the cinema seat and started watching it, I went on this thrill ride through it for 2 hours and 5 minutes. And I was so kind of absorbing everything in such a wonderful way. And I could appreciate the directors and the kind of twists that they kept doing, the timeline that they chose, because it's kind of like Pulp Fiction, where you're not quite sure what's going. You know, you're like, okay, hang on, she's like an alien right now. And then it goes back to planet Earth, and then this and that. She's trying to get her memory back. And I don't know what the original question was. But
now you mentioned Pulp Fiction. Did you notice the homage paid to Pulp Fiction?
Royale with cheese.
not only that, the bits in the car, the way they were wearing suits, and they took the angle of the shot from Coulson and Fury was exactly like Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson in that movie. It was brilliant. And then obviously Ben Mendelsohn, Talos, drinking the milkshake or whatever the drink he had. That was another homage to Samuel L. Jackson when he was doing it in Pulp Fiction. So it was, I thought that was very cleverly done. Very good as well. I think Nin picked up on that as well. I thought it was very good. I personally really enjoyed those little bits. I love it when they do that. But, the question was, let's just move into Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, actually. Let's just start there. And, cause obviously we'll go through the characters, and we'll go through their storylines as well at the same time. So how do you think she did as Captain Marvel, dude?
I think she did a really good job. She's a very nuanced actress. If anyone's seen her in Room, I mean, that's the one that she won the Oscar for. Initially, it's really funny. I didn't particularly like her performance in that. I thought it was okay, but I couldn't understand why she won an Oscar for it. And then I watched it again. I was like, okay, I can see this, because it was the kind of thing where she didn't have to be obvious with emotion. You know, we were talking about Wonder Woman before, and I think Wonder Woman's a great film. I absolutely loved it. But it's very over the top, very melodramatic. Gal Gadot plays a certain type of role that's written in a certain type of way. This is not that. This is not saying, okay, we want a woman to be, you know, really emotional and lay on all these kind of typical things that a male writer might think a woman is. This is someone who, if you think about it, really, she's already in her human sort of stage of life. She's one of like two female Top Gun pilots. back in the 80s or whatever it is, right? And so for her to come up, she has to be stoic, she has to be reserved, and she has to be incredibly driven and strong. You know, so for her to take that forward as the movie progresses, she's not going to be over emotional. It's not going to be kind of like this flamboyant display that Wonder Woman was. So for her, for Brie Larson, I think she had to come into this. It's quite a difficult role because people might be thinking, okay, here's a female-led superhero movie. It's going to be kind of a completely different set of emotions that you're going to feel. But actually, it's not that different to, like, you know, the first Captain America one or even parts of Thor. And it's kind of like, it's difficult to describe, but I think the way that she did it, she was on a hiding to nothing. And interestingly, she actually filmed the Avengers Endgame stuff first before she did this. So it's interesting watching how she, like in Avengers, it's going to be fascinating to see the role that she plays and how she plays it, because in here, she already feels more comfortable and at home in the Marvel Universe. I mean, how do you guys think that she did?
Joey, let's go to you first, mate. I can go last.
I thought she was really good. I mean, that's not an easy role to play, and she got a lot of abuse. Like I said, she got a lot of online abuse because a lot of men don't want to see a strong female character, and that character in comic books is one of the strongest, one of the most powerful characters. And I thought she was fantastic. She had a good sense of humor. She had good banter back and forth between her and Samuel L. Jackson. The fight scenes looked legit. It wasn't anything corny. I just think she was really good. I've seen her in other movies, like the one that Jessel said. I've seen that. That was obviously a way different role. But yeah, I thought she was really good. Once she was cast, I'm not one of those people who were really into, I don't know. I just like to watch the movie. Like, I don't need to know what movies you've been in the past. Unless I know who you are. Like, if it's a Tom Hanks, I'm like, okay, well, I can name 10 Tom Hanks movies. Like, I can't name you 5 Brie Larson movies. I can't. So when I heard she was going to be Captain Marvel, I'm like, okay, well, Marvel's usually dead on with their casting. They're just really good at it.
Yeah, they are.
They haven't got many that are wrong.
You've grown to trust Marvel, haven't you, with what they do? You've grown to trust them over the years now with what they pick up.
That's right. So I didn't put much thought into it. I just was like, I want to watch the movie and enjoy it, because I don't need to have it broken down into anything. I'm just not that kind of guy. Like, I really don't even know who directed the film. I don't care about that stuff. I know a lot of people do, and I completely understand why. I just, for me, that doesn't matter. But I thought she was really good. Yeah, and I think she's going to be awesome in Endgame. Obviously, she's going to be the one to, I mean, we're assuming that Thanos gets defeated. And with all the firepower they have, including her, you know, it's probably going to happen. I'm curious to see who dies and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought she was fantastic. I think off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody else who I would put in there. I mean, like Scarlett Johansson's the perfect Black Widow. You know what I mean? Like, who would have thought that? Like, nobody would have thought that.
No.
But then you watch her and you're like, wow, she's really good. Yeah. So that was my opinion on Brie Larson. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, I like the points you both made. Especially, you know, the emotional side of things. She didn't have a memory. She couldn't be emotional. She had to be, you know, pretty switched off to everything when she meets a friend as well. You'd think that'd be emotional, but obviously the friend, you see the emotion from her friend, you know, but you don't see anything, Maria, you know, you don't see anything from her because she just doesn't remember her. So, you know, I think she played it to a T. You could have easily got a bit too mushy there, but it didn't. It was really good in that way. She was fun. I thought she was a lot of fun, actually. Watching her be Captain Marvel, you know, there's a couple of scenes where, you know, one of the Skrulls is just like roaring at her and she just roars back at him and then she kicks his ass. I thought there was little bits like that where she was dead funny, and she was funny when she met Fury for the first time. She's being very cheeky. She's very cheeky with Jude Law at the start when they're training. You know, she's got this straight away. What you get from her is that she's cheeky. She's a cheeky, fun type of person. Obviously she's lost. Definitely she's lost because she's got so many questions, but it doesn't change her personality in terms of how she presents herself. And that was very good. So I think what Jessa said in terms of the driven, passionate person in what she wants to do, that came across, whether she was a part of that Star Force team or whether she was a pilot. So in obviously she's got two roles in this movie. She's playing two different characters in a way. Once at the start and then once as she develops and turns into Captain Marvel. So I thought she played them very, very well. There is, I did speak to Nina because I thought getting the female view would be pretty interesting at this point in terms of what she thought. My daughters both loved it, absolutely loved it, didn't my eldest, 14 years old, she just swats everything about Marvel movies and she just absolutely loved it. She couldn't even find a fault and I was like, you're crazy. But Nin loved the fact that she didn't have a love interest, a romantic interest in this film. And when she saw Jude Law at the start, she thought it was a bit of flirting and she thought, oh God, this is going to suck. And it's going to be, you know, but she loved, like I've just said, she loved that she was cheeky and mischievous and nothing, she's got nothing against the romantic angle, but she felt like it would have sold her short. She goes, even Wonder Woman had one for fuck's sake. And, it just, you know, she just thought it was, and she said it wasn't a woman. She heard you on a pod or something, she said to me. But, Joey. But she just said, she thought that was refreshing for a change. She didn't need a man to get her out of her troubles. She didn't need a man to go to support. So a bit with the feminism side of things. And she was, she loved the fact she was, you know, she was so serious, but she was a big ass badass, you know, and, with a chilled out demeanor, wearing those, you know, Nine Inch Nail t-shirts and shit. She was totally chilled out. And, that was from Nin's point of view, what she loved about her character. And then she loved her friendship with, Maria. She thought it was very believable and, encouraging and inspiring each other. Unlike most female friendships that are portrayed on the big screen where they're so girly or talk about dating and shit like that. So that was Nina's view, which I thought was really interesting and a totally, you know, different perspective that we would bring as males to the party. But yeah, I thought she was fantastic. I enjoyed it. She is very, very powerful, isn't she, Joey? She has got some super duper powers. Like at times I thought she would kick Superman's ass, you know, like if they kicked
well, and that's, blows. That's the funny thing. It's, I know the movies are all different and they're going to make her out to be stronger than what she really is. Not like I said earlier, she's incredibly powerful. I want to use not stronger because it's very different. But I mean, if you go through comic lore, like Thor is actually more powerful than she is, but he won't be in the movies because obviously she's the end game. That's her. But the funny thing I thought is the one omission, which I thought who would be in the movie or in some of the Easter eggs who was not, was Doctor Strange. That's the thing that threw me off. I thought Doctor Strange was going to be in this movie somehow and make an appearance for obvious reasons. But he did it. So that kind of threw me off as to how Endgame is going to...
What was the obvious reasons?
Well, he's the master of time. So.
So you thought he'd gone back to tell her?
That or he sort of knew. There's a lot of people who don't think... There's a big theory, and it makes sense that there's a lot of people that don't think he gave Thanos the time stone, that it was fake, even though it went into that fist, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of people that think that wasn't actually true. So,
but he did travel, right, with it, or no? Didn't he turn back time?
He did when Scarlet Witch killed. Yeah.
Isn't that the time stone then?
But it is. But nobody ever touches the time stone ever. In any of those movies, nobody ever touches it. Even when Thanos gets it, it just sits between his fingers and he puts it in the glove. So they're thinking either he made a duplicate or that he never gave it to him. Nobody ever touches the time stone in that movie or in Doctor Strange's movie.
Wow, I did not notice that. Did you notice that, Jessel?
Well, I thought it's because at that point, Thanos is powerful enough to actually touch these things, basically. So he's accrued enough power by that stage that he is actually, because otherwise it would just kill you or whatever if you just a normal person touched it. or unless you were like a Flurkin or whatever the cat, but that's what I thought. To be honest, like, I think with Doctor Strange, we're sort of jumping ahead here, but for the Avengers one, I thought Doctor Strange was kind of, when that moment when he says, you know, there's like 14 million bloody bloody blahs and only one like result which would be beneficial to everyone. So he clearly knows what the end game is, right? But we just have to wait. So,
well, then you just nailed it. That was nail on the head right there. That was the scene I was talking about. I think that's what he's seen.
Yeah.
I think he's seen the end game. The only way we can beat him is by having her. That was the one outcome.
Yeah. We have to lose half of the world.
Correct.
In order to go back and win it again.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why, and I think that's why they didn't put him in there, because it would have been a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense to me. That's really interesting. Jessa, what did you think of, you know, her powers, what she could do, and she was learning, obviously, as she was going through as well?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, is she's kind of learning on the job in certain ways, because, again, you have this jumpy timeline. So, you know, initially, because I didn't know anything about her, I was like, okay, fine. She's clearly kind of like an alien with superpowers or whatever. And I didn't realize she was just a normal human, albeit a Top Gun pilot who then gets kind of, you know, this blast goes into her chest and then she becomes all super powerful. The interesting thing is Kevin Feige, I think, said that she is the most powerful person in the universe. And I think that was clearly displayed to me watching the film. There are so many reviews where they've said, oh, it's a shame we didn't really see what she could do. I was like, what film were you watching? The end sequence. She's literally flying around space, yeah? Flying
through planes.
Spaceships. Yeah, through planes and spaceships.
No, that was
destroying
really
them.
That
I'm
was
like,
massive.
Who else has done anything like that? Tony Stark would die in like a split second if you tried that.
Tony would dream of doing that. That is Tony's dream.
Her power is cosmic power.
Yeah.
It's not superhero. She's a superhero, but her power is cosmic power. It's a whole different. That's why Doctor Strange is so powerful, but he doesn't use it.
She's the Tesseract, man. She's the fucking Tesseract.
But that's only, she didn't get her powers from the Tesseract. She got it from, remember I was saying earlier in that movie that's how they had to make it that way. But that's not actually how she got it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. In the movie, we feel like that. Yeah, of course. But that's not
how
she's
got it. You have to use that in the movie. You just, because it's part of every other.
Of all the stones, everything. Yeah. Because obviously they've got to try and mix it in with the stone. There's got to be, a stone has to be in the film, right? To try and push it towards that way. Yeah.
Sure.
I get you. So, I mean, from my point of view, that what Jessel just said, the ending where she just literally destroys the whole fleet of aliens. Like you just like, I was watching it going, holy shit. And then she just goes and like floats in front of Ronan and she does this thing with her arms. And then all these beams come out of her and she's just like showing off in front of him. And he runs off like a pussy. Like, it was just like, what the fuck? And like from my point of view, and I think you guys probably will disagree with me in this. One of the reasons why I marked it down was, right, and this is about Bree, about the character, not Bree. I thought Bree played it perfectly. It was great. About the character was that, I'm sorry to say this, I didn't give a shit about her. I thought she was going to kick ass all the time. I didn't actually feel like she was ever going to be in the threat. I wasn't worried for her. Do you get me? Like, sometimes, maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of like rooting for the guy or the person, the girl. Whoever, but I never felt like she was in trouble ever. So I kind of just felt like she was gonna ruin everything that was in her way. And so from my point of view, I was a little detached. I just thought, yeah, this is gonna be fun and she's gonna kick ass. And she literally did that. There was like not once where I thought, uh-oh. Even when she was tied down by the Kree, I knew she's breaking out of this in a few minutes. She's gonna kick this thing's ass and they're all gonna go flying. And that was one of the reasons why I marked it down, was because I didn't feel like there was that there, but I probably, I mean, it's a setup movie and I definitely think if she's got five more to come of these, there's gonna be times where she's gonna be in a lot more, that she's gonna meet a credible opponent, you know, to her powers. But, in this, for sure, I don't know, Joey. That's what I felt.
Oh yeah, I mean, Charles, you can go first, Gag.
Yeah, sorry. I was just whilst it's fresh in my head, I think the key word that Gags is maybe looking for is vulnerability. We don't really see her with many chinks in her armor or vulnerability.
She was super immediately.
pretty much. But again, the timeline kind of plays with you in that respect. She's not always mm-hmm. like that. But that's a criticism that I've seen in many reviews, right? Where it's like, oh, you know, at least in Wonder Woman, you know, she was more vulnerable and she was this and that and stuff. This is a very different film. For me, like, I think the key is the framework of this film. And if you look at certain things as metaphors, right? Here, this is the story of a woman who's basically being told, stop being so emotional. From the first scene with Jude Law, control your emotions, stop being so emotional. Now, you know, I proudly will say that I'm a feminist. Yeah. Women are constantly told, oh God, you're so emotional. Why are you being so, what, you know, and like husbands will argue with their wives. I've said that to my wife in the past and realize now what a dick I am, basically. And constantly in this film, there's this undertone. Even when she pulls up on Earth, like, before she gets that 9-inch nails thing, there's this guy on a motorcycle who's like, you know, what do you call it? Catcalling her and then makes this comment at her and all this kind of stuff. And it's constant. And really the metaphor is that her power, she has the power in her hands, right? But she's been constantly told you're not allowed to use it, whether it's by Jude Law or whether it's by that intelligence thing, whatever it is that the, you know, who like Annette Bening, represents, or whether it's like, you know, the Skrulls are being controlled and stuff like that, or she's being controlled and everyone's being controlled by certain things. And she's being told to control her emotions. And then once she breaks free and realizes the power that she has, why should she? Yeah, the key to her is, and that's what makes her powerful. And that's the metaphor of this film. And that's what women, but I reckon if you ask most women what they identify with this in this film, I reckon it's probably along those lines. Like, I would love to know what you guys think about that.
No, I'd actually totally agree. That's where I was heading with it too, with the feminism. And that's why they changed Annette Bening to be a female. Which I think is awesome. I mean, if Wonder Woman is one of the biggest feminist icons of all time, which we were talking about earlier, Captain Marvel, the reason she's not is because the original Captain Marvel was, like I said earlier, was a man. So maybe it'd be great if little girls watch this movie and they say, hey, I can do anything I want to. I would love that. But yeah, I mean, to Gag's question earlier is the vulnerability part. Yeah, you're dead right. I mean, she was never in any kind of danger whatsoever. But I think that maybe that was the point of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what my daughter pointed out to me as well. She went and Googled and she went and read loads of reviews and she came and said,
"Yeah,
that's kind of the point, Dad. She's not vulnerable. She's going to kick everybody's ass.
This is the point
of the movie. She is coming to help the Avengers, like the Avengers, Dad. The event, she's going to be, you know, when she's like, my daughter's 14 and she's kicking my ass. So, you know, that she's trying to explain to me that she's unbeatable and she's going to be helping the people that you love. You know, those Avengers that are very vulnerable right now. She's going to be helping them. So she got through to me very well, but I have it's my own personal view. I wanted to bring it across and it was also something that's just, maybe I am programmed to watch movies in this way where I'm always looking for a Rocky type person. Do you get what I mean? To get behind. Maybe mm-hmm. that's just the way I'm programmed. And I think it's just a very individual thing, isn't it?
The underdog.
The underdog. And I'm not used to seeing someone just, I wish Liverpool were Captain Marvel. Liverpool Football Club would just do what Captain Marvel does. They should be like Brie Larson. They should just kick fucking ass because it would save us a lot of pain. But you see what I mean? We are conditioned to be, maybe as Liverpool fans as well, the three of us are, to be the underdog always. So
yeah.
From my point of view, that's where maybe it's more in my mind. And I think my daughter really pointed that out really nicely. And you both have pointed, I wanted to see if you guys said the same thing. And you pretty much did, Joey. I think you agree with Jessel, right?
Yeah, I did. And I did want to touch on the feminism part because I do think it was, I don't know, Jessel, you looked at it differently a little bit, but like, I agree with what you said, but I just thought it was pushed a little too much. Like, I thought it was forced on us a little too much. That was the only thing that I was like, okay, like, I didn't feel that way when I watched Wonder Woman. And when I watch this, I'm like, they're really going out of their way to make this a feminist movie.
Oh, no.
And
I think I was the opposite. I thought Wonder Woman was more, especially at the start.
Yeah, but people know that she's a feminist icon. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like all the stuff where she was like in Captain Marvel, where you just talked about it, where she was falling down and getting back up. Like, that was kind of like, okay, like, does that, like, is that too cliche, or is that, I don't know. I guess, again, like,
I think it's more about her backstory, earlier, like, right? I thought that was more about her backstory that we're probably going to get to see in the next third, fourth. But
I mean, like, the not allowing, like, the Air Force not allowing women to fly planes like that. But I don't know. I just, for me, it was
in the 90s, 80s and 90s.
Just felt it was a little forced. That's all. Because of the character, because of the kind of power, I don't know. Not the power. I can't take that in consideration because Wonder Woman would kick her ass in a fight in the comics. So.
I accepted that, by the way. I accepted those things because I thought they were very realistic. I think that type of stuff was going on back then, definitely.
There was only one thing that I didn't like about this film, pretty much, and that was when they used "I'm Just a Girl" by No Doubt in the fight scene.
I hated that.
That was literally the one thing I was like, "No, this is too far now." Like
that's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That stuff like that, right there.
I felt it was forced and pushed and like sort of forced down my throat. Otherwise, I mean, let me turn it around on you guys and say this, right? If you look at Doctor Strange and the way that was handled as a film, you know, it was a typical kind of the first outing and stuff like that, right?
Sure.
So I felt that was, I might be in the minority, but I felt it was a really perfunctory film. You had the typical kind of narrative of, you know, here's this arrogant guy. He's successful. Something bad happens to him. He has to relearn everything and then he becomes a superhero, blah, 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 blah. Right. So the producer, his name is Nate. What's his name? Nate. Something I can't remember. Nate Dogg, maybe let's call him. He basically said, like, a couple of years ago, he said, this is not going to be your typical MCU thing. You know, we are going to change. This is going to be a really playful structure. It will be completely different, have a hugely different feel. And also the thing is that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, diversity is pushed down our throats and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Sometimes it needs to be. Black Panther was huge. Yeah. Black Panther was such a big film. And again, I didn't know who Black Panther was. Like a year before. I genuinely didn't. I'm not a huge comic book fan or ever. I literally never read comic books, right? So I just didn't know who it was apart from in the actual MCU films. Like he was in, which one was it? The second event? No. The Captain America one.
Civil War, man.
Yeah, yeah, Sybil.
At the end.
Apart from that, I really didn't know, right? And the end result has been brilliant because they did it well. They got Ryan Coogler in, who's a genius. They got a brilliant cast. Chadwick Boseman, like we were saying before about, you know, not knowing what films actors or actresses have been in before. I don't know what Chadwick Boseman's been in before. I have no idea, to be honest. I know what Michael B. Jordan's been in.
Yeah.
Worked with Ryan Coogler and everything like that, right? He's got more of a pedigree. But anyway, they pushed that and they did ram it down our throat. So from the feminist angle, I don't mind it because, do you know what? Men have had it their own way for generations and forever, basically. So if this is just a bit of a rebalancing, and this is like one film along with Wonder Woman, yeah, in a sea of decades and decades of
other male movies. Yeah.
Let's put it this way.
Let me interject, please, because it's so interesting. So interesting. The way you both reacted to I'm Just a Girl, right? I wanted to save this because Nina said the soundtrack was brilliant, on par with Guardians for her. It reminded her of her childhood and her kicking ass to I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt was a personal highlight for Nina. She whooped and punched the air when that song was played for this movie. So from my point of view, from me knowing that Nina felt like this, because she's prepared something for me and sent me a big long, you know, list of stuff for the female view. And then listening to you two and you both were like, that was shit. Like, it tells you straight away where the aim was for that song.
Well, the thing was, it wasn't that. I think what me and Jezzle are trying to say is that was just, it's not like the, if you don't like No Doubt, okay, that's fine. It was just, they shoved that down your throat. Like, I thought the soundtrack was awesome.
Yeah.
Like they played TLC.
Oh, wicked. I'm not,
you know what I mean? They played a lot of really good songs.
I loved them. I loved everything. Yeah. I thought they could have played a few a little bit louder and like more into the movie or something, but some of them were too back, you know, in the background.
They had Elastica. They had Garbage. They had some brilliant songs.
Nirvana.
What you're saying is when a song is too obviously used, yes, and the lyrics are describing what is happening on screen, then you're treating your audience like a dummy, basically. I'm just a girl, oh, little old me, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, you know, and now I'm going to beat up a bunch of boys. It's like, that's what I meant by...
I know women who didn't like...
Hey, there was a female in there as well.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, there was too many cliche things for me. Like, I'm all about feminism. I've written articles on it.
Yeah.
I'm all about it, and I, Jesse, you're right, there's been thousands and thousands of movies of male superheroes.
I think
all three
of us are feminists as well, to be fair.
I have a daughter. You have a daughter. Justin, I'm not sure about you.
My house is full of women, man. I am overpowered. Yeah. Always. I bow.
Yeah. All you need is one. If you're married, you automatically lose. So you have to accept
this.
Very strong-willed
women in my house.
Yeah. It's like getting attacked by White Walkers, you know what I mean?
I'm going to tell them that. Somebody compared you to White Walkers. I'll be the Night King, though. Right.
Sorry, nice Justin. Knowing you guys.
Sorry, Justin.
In terms of the Wonder Woman point, I mean, how long did it take Hollywood to figure out that Wonder Woman would make a good film or be a popular film? You know, like, we used to watch the TV show, I'm sure, like you guys probably did when you were young as well. Like, that was my favorite TV show, Wonder Woman, when I was a kid. And it took them, 30 years to figure out, okay, maybe we should make a good film.
I thought they actually casted it perfectly. I'm glad they waited, though, because they casted it right. I thought it was done right. I think the CGI, the time to do it was now, because it looks so good. She looks so good, and the way she portrays it is so good. The powers are so good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks legit. You know, I wonder how they would use her whip or whatever, you know, what she uses. In the olden days, it would have looked so shit. You know?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It would have looked so shit.
Okay, so Gag, because you mentioned it at the beginning. So you said that you preferred Wonder Woman to this. So let me turn it on you and ask you why. Why is that exactly?
I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I want to say something before you answer that question because it was about, you did say that and I said it too. And then I think you had said something about, even she chased a man. But if you remember, that's not why she did that.
No, that was what Nina said about her point was that she had a love interest. Yeah. It wasn't about the love interest for me. Not at all. I just thought,
but it wasn't a love, but that the love interest is not what pushed her into it. It was doing the right thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I don't know why I preferred that more. I think I came out way more satisfied when I watched that film, and I got, you know, like as a moviegoer, when I watched that, I was like, oof. That was very good. Maybe if Captain Marvel came first, it may have done that. It may have, but I haven't actually watched it recently either to go and, you know, do a proper review on it. And I'm so shit with remembering, but I just remember knowing that was a better movie personally.
Well, interestingly, like my wife, when we came out of Captain Marvel on Friday, she said that was really good. I really enjoyed it, but I think Wonder Woman was a better film.
Yeah,
I think part of the thing is with Wonder Woman, like DC in terms of the films, like the last few years, Wonder Woman is like an oasis in a desert of shite, isn't it? Really, because like, so in terms of like, even though I think Wonder Woman is a brilliant film, and actually I'm gutted I didn't watch it at the cinema, that will literally live with me forever, because I'd waited for a Wonder Woman film for 30 years and then I finally didn't even see it in the cinema. It's like, oh god. But it was so good, and it was really well-rounded. It was much more of a typical hero's journey kind of thing, right? Albeit with a few feminist twists and this and that, but I think it had to be good. And actually, I could reject every single other DC film from this decade and just keep Wonder Woman, and that's fine. But you cannot say that about Captain Marvel. You know, if you think about the quality of some of these MCU films, you know, especially recently, especially over the last 2-3 years, right? When you've got Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers, this, the quality it's competing with is just epic. This has literally never been done in the history of cinema. Like this kind of, you know, Kevin Feige overseeing such a coherent, incredible set of films that makes sense all within the same universe, right? The DC one's a mess. I mean, so really it's just Wonder Woman on its own is the only DC film I would even rate, to be honest. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
I would disagree a little bit, but I think your overall, I think what you're saying, like Marvel's been obviously light years better, but there's been a few DC movies that I liked. Like I actually liked Justice League. I know there was parts of Batman Superman. I know people hated it, and there's some that I didn't like either. But they make all their movies too dark. That's the problem. Like Suicide Squad had good parts, but overall. Probably not a really good movie. I'm trying to think what I'm missing here. Probably not much. If I can't think of it, I'm probably not missing much, I guess. So, yeah. I mean, it's funny though, you said that about your wife, because my wife had no interest in seeing Captain Marvel, but we were the first in line when Wonder Woman came out. Like she wanted to see it really, really bad. And I don't even know what the reason for that was. She didn't really have a reason. It was just the appeal of like, oh, Wonder Woman, well, I really want to see this. And my wife is like me, like, we're like, oh, okay, well, we know who the actors and the actresses are, but it's not like, oh, this is a so-and-so film, I must see it. Like, we don't do that. We just kind of, you know, Wonder Woman film, I'm definitely there. And Captain Marvel, like I said, it was good, but, you know, I just thought the feminism was sort of shoved down your throat. I guess it doesn't really matter, I guess, in the long haul.
But
it's
still a good film. The Wonder Woman stuff, there's like certain music as well when she's about to kick ass. She's got her own theme and things like that. And I love it when there's something that can be continued, a continuation thing, like something that builds its own. There's nothing in this, I don't think, that you can build on in terms of that way. But Wonder Woman, you know when she's coming. You know, and they started that in Batman vs. Superman. The music started there. It was like planned, and that continues. Yep. And I think that type of stuff resonates with me as well. If you play that music anywhere, when you're going anywhere now, you'll know that's Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah,
she's coming, or something's happening, or this is an advert for that, or whatever. There's something that pulls you to it, sticks with you through it, and afterwards, it doesn't stick. Nothing sticks with me afterwards for Captain Marvel. I'm afraid to say this. And that was just something off the top of my head, just while you lot were talking. I thought, what was one of the things that stuck with me? And I thought, fuck, what? Her music. Just the music is awesome. It's one of the things. And I just love, you know, she's different. Her powers are good as well. I mean, she is like probably more powerful than Captain Marvel. She's unbelievably powerful.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman in a comic book fight would destroy her.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. She's just.
I mean, she's a goddess. Isn't she?
Yeah, she's a goddess.
She's half god and half.
Yeah.
So I mean, like cosmic. I mean, it's not like it would be. I don't even think it would be a fight. There's not many people. I mean, Wonder Woman can beat up Superman. She can beat up Hulk. They have arcs. They have like Reddit pages dedicated to the stuff that my goofy ass has read for hours upon hours upon hours, and they break it down, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can see that. I mean, there's like a few people who could really beat Wonder Woman, and it's guys you would or characters you guys would probably never even heard of. So.
Go on then, who? Good name, one, only one.
Just
Virgil
one?
Van Dyke.
Actually. Virgil Van Dyke with Thor's Stormwatcher, maybe that he was made. He would beat him
Thor,
with that.
Thor, you actually think Thor could beat Wonder Woman?
No. I was going with So I'm trying to think. Odin probably could.
Wow.
Yeah. Odin in the comics could. I'm trying to think who else. I knew you were going to put me on the spot, you bastard.
No, it's fine. I asked for one. You said one.
What was you thinking about that? If I can jump in on a related note. I think what Gags was talking about before, where there isn't that vulnerability, and she is kind of basically, Kevin Feige said, she's the most powerful one here. When someone is so powerful, that they basically have no peers. No one can really, you know, touch them on that level. Their biggest threat is themselves, usually in this kind of film.
Yeah.
She, So I think going down the line, Captain Marvel, like, the biggest threat to her power is herself. And if you look at Odin, Odin is the perfect example, because, say, in Thor Ragnarok, Ragnarok is the really interesting one that I think kicked off this amazing sequence recently from Marvel. Because actually, like I was talking about with the Skrulls being, you know, that terrorist thing, the political landscape right now, Ragnarok is really interesting because it's about colonialism. I didn't really get it on my first watch, but the second watch I did. And then you sort of see, like, Hela is saying, look, how do you think we got all this power, all these beautiful things? It's because Odin did all this nasty shit. Like, you know, exactly. It was basically colonialism,
yeah.
Right?
And, yeah, and exactly what it was.
That's what Odin's downfall came from. It came from that lack of hubris. He was all powerful, but then, you know, he kind of screwed himself up, right? And that's where Captain Marvel could come into play, like, further down the line along her 7-movie deal, you know, around sort of 3 or 4, it can go wrong for her.
That would be interesting. Now, you know what? We have spent so much time talking about Captain Marvel and flipping Wonder Woman and who would beat who that we haven't even gone anywhere near Fury. And we have to move on to Nick Fury because Fury is absolutely, and you know, Bree is the movie. Bree is the movie and she's fantastic, but Nick Fury, and I know I've seen a few reviews where they've said that he's just a comic sidekick, this, that, and the other. I disagree. I totally disagree. I thought, we know this character. We love this character. He's been in so many movies already in Marvel and in the MCU. He brings it all together and he has to bring this together because he's the one we see at the end of Infinity War disappear and call her. So we want to know what happens. And I thought, Joey, he was fantastic in this.
Yeah, I said the same thing to you. And I saw those reviews too. And I mean, Samuel L. Jackson can play just about any part. He's just that versatile. He's really good. But he brought the humor to it, which was great. You don't usually see that from Nick Fury. You know, the Nick Fury that you see now is an old grizzled veteran. You don't see that kind of thing. But he didn't just play that. You know, you saw him. He was young. He was wily. He was, you know, he was learning a lot. He had never seen any kind of alien, like he said, in his life. His eyes were opened up to new things. I thought he was fantastic. I don't know why people would knock at that at all. I mean, I thought he was great.
Yeah, I mean, jumping off that, you know, I think it's brilliant. There are two things, really. First of all, the CGI de-aging technique that they use is just phenomenal. Like, I completely forgot that this is a 70-year-old guy right now. Like, you just, the technology is just mind-blowing. And then the second part is, it kind of, you know, it feels like a buddy cop movie at times between Captain Marvel and Nick Fury. And you know, the cracking jokes is kind of like that Lethal Weapon 48 Hours Pulp Fiction-y type thing. And I love that feel that the directors actually kind of, you know, inject into it. And like Joey was saying, you know, we're so used to seeing the super serious guy, you know, he's got his eye patch on, Nick Fury, blah, blah, blah. And this is brilliant because this is his origin story kind of tacked onto Captain Marvel. And I know some people don't like that, but I thought it was brilliant. I thought it balanced it out really well, actually.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Me too. I thought he balanced it perfectly out. And I thought the interaction with Goose, apparently Goose is called Chewy in the comics.
Yeah, I don't know why it was a weird thing why they changed that, because Disney owns
both.
You know what I mean? All these. Yeah, so it was like, maybe they just didn't want it to be associated with Star Wars.
No, they probably just wanted to keep it totally separate.
They don't want to
blur the lines, because people will start getting like confused.
Yeah, and then
wait a minute, Star Wars going to turn up in Marvel now?
Well, you know what the funny thing is, like those Flurkins, like they are incredibly powerful. Flurkins in comics have like swallowed whole entire universes.
What the fuck?
And they can travel like interdimensionally, so they're not. That's, you know, remember when they were scanning it and it was like high threat?
Yeah.
And then they scanned Samuel L. Jackson, that was like human male, low threat, and he was like,
no, zero threat or something. Armless. And he's like, are you sure?
But yeah, Flurkins are incredibly powerful.
I thought that was a brilliant scene when Ben Mendelsohn Talos is there and he's like, get that thing away from me. And they're all like, you're afraid of a cat? It's not a cat.
Didn't know that. I had no idea. I didn't know what a Flurkin was, because again, I haven't seen the trailers, haven't read up anything. So for me,
we didn't know either. We didn't know either. Nobody knew because they didn't.
That's the
best
thing, I think, is not knowing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Obviously, Joey knew what to expect, so he was expecting it to swallow up people and stuff. And I thought those scenes.
I was like, this is going to be nasty looking, so.
Yeah. You know why? It was like a Demogorgon.
Yeah.
When it opened up, it was like a Demogorgon.
It did look like a Demogorgon.
I was like, this is Stranger Things. My daughters were like, Dad, that's like Stranger Things. I was like, yeah, I know. But yeah, it was, I thought that was a really cool part. Definitely Goose was very interesting. And Nina's last point was, this just ended the cats versus dog debate.
No way.
He was the star of the
show. I know she loves her cats, but
she does. Well, she has to put it in, dude. She loves her cat, so
she's gonna always put it in. I'm not a cat person myself, unless they're bigger cats. I don't like indoor cats. I'm a dog guy all the way.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, Fury, it was interesting to see how. I thought it was pretty lame the way his eye went.
I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat there. It was creative. It was creative writing. I'll give them that. You had to figure once you seen him with two eyes, you were going to see how that he was going to lose his eye. But I thought the hilarious part is when Coulson gave him the whole, it was like a chocolate candies of fake eyes at the end of it, which was hilarious.
Yeah. Too funny.
And he's like telling him which one to choose from. that to me was really funny, but like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's not the way he really loses his eye, but it's, again, you can't, the comic books and the movies can't be the same. It's just not possible. And if it was, it'd probably be boring, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got to have some freedom, haven't they, to change some things up, because otherwise, you're just not going to be able to fit into the universe. And that's why they call it the cinematic universe. They've been very clever about it, because they can then have a bit of freedom about it. They don't claim it's going to be exactly the same as the comics, but that is their inspiration and their start point. And then they go from there to fit it all together in a nice way. And obviously the scroll, the Kree stuff, everything, it could point to, you know, loads of other future wars and Avengers movies and whatever. So I just think there could be so much shit going on now. They've opened up. I think we'll see a lot more of Jude Law and Ben Mendelsohn and these guys, I think, coming up. I thought Jude Law was great, by the way.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
I like Jude Law anyway. I'm a big fan of Jude Law. He's another guy who can play a lot of different versatile parts. Although I really think she should have killed him at the end, but I get what she was doing, like sending a message, but it would have been better if she just killed him, because he really deserved it. He did. In my opinion.
He did. Jessel, anything else about, maybe the rest of the cast? So Ben Mendelsohn or.
Yeah. Or I thought Ben Mendelsohn was brilliant, actually. So what's that Chief Skrull's name? Talos, is it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Same.
See, it's interesting. I still don't know the character that Jude Law was playing.
Yon-Rogg.
It's hard to hear their names. It really is. Because, I mean, her name was Veers in, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, that doesn't, they just gave themselves random Kree names.
And then, I mean, obviously, she's never even called Captain Marvel in the film, is she? Like at any
not one time. Nope. That was a good. I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, but I think Ben Mendelsohn was just fantastic. He's so playful. It kind of reminded me of that sort of Thor Ragnarok. You know that big, that huge rock thing who's trapped in Thor Ragnarok.
He's funny. He's
yeah, I think it's Taiki Waititi. The director actually plays him, doesn't he? I think he voices him. But it kind of reminded me of that, but a much more nuanced character, because you think he's a villain, then he turns out to be someone who's kind of oppressed and this and that. And I think he was just having fun with it. I thought it was excellent, absolutely excellent. Gemma Chan is a shame because I love her. She's such a good actress, and she just hardly had anything to do, to be honest. She had one funny line, and that was it. But that was a bit of a shame. Annette Bening, I thought she was solid. They have a history of getting these kind of older prestige actors and actresses come in and play certain roles, like, you know, Robert Redford, Michael Douglas, and Annette Bening now. So I think that she was put to good use. So I don't know what you guys think.
The Annette Bening thing, I thought she was excellent. I don't know if I have much else to add other than what I already said about Jude Law, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. I you know, we talked about Samuel L. Jackson. We talked about Jude Law, Ben Mendelsohn. I don't know if we're missing anybody big. I don't think so.
I just think Coulson was underutilized totally.
Yeah.
That was the only worry. That was my only thing. Clark Gregg was just not used in this movie at all. And I was actually quite looking, you know, I was looking forward to seeing him with Fury for a bit, but it was very, very small. Well, maybe he'll be back in, because she does ask about him in a way. Like, yeah, who was that guy? And I think that might be pointing to, like, future movies where, you know, Fury and Coulson might be involved a little bit more, which is interesting, because obviously you wouldn't expect them to be so involved in the movies after what, you know, as you go along. But them being reintroduced as them younger selves is, by the way, we should talk about that. How fucking good was that? Like, they look good. Like, Samuel L. Jackson looks so good.
That's what Jezza was saying, how they could do that CGI. Oh. It was amazing. I mean, the guy had a full head of hair. I mean, it was just like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And Clark Gregg, you could tell on the scene when he was in the steps and the, they were walking down the steps from the hallway to hallway.
Mm.
It was like, whoa, he looks a lot younger than he does in, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is obviously because it was in '89. But, I think they did it just, again, Marvel just does a really, Marvel knows what they're doing. Kevin Feige knows what he's doing. They're so smart. And even a movie like this, like, well, you know, it was all action. And again, I think the whole point of this movie was just, this is what your end game is. Like, she's your, when you're sitting at a poker table, you have the ace up your sleeve. That's her. I think that's just what they're trying to portray. And Jezel said earlier, she has a 7-picture deal. They can build upon all of that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
They have so much time to build upon all of that. So why make it too, you know, like,
yeah.
Like you brought up, I think, Jesse, you brought up the Doctor Strange thing. Like, that was like, or that maybe that was you, Gags. I'm not sure. I apologize who said that earlier. But it was like, you were introduced to this. This is what it was. And that's tough to do with him. But that was, they didn't really do that with her. You know what I mean? Like, they left a lot open for interpretation. And if I didn't say any of the stuff I said in the beginning, we would still be like, oh, well, what was this? Like, you guys wouldn't have known who she was. Other people would have, but again, that could change in the movie as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But they also don't have time. I mean, Avengers comes out in what, 6 weeks or something? So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Just on that basis alone, they had to cram a lot into this movie. It's very multi-layered and it's very quickfire. You know, I can't wait to see it again, because actually, I know I missed stuff the first time round. I was just enjoying the thrill of the ride. I actually think the replay value of this is going to be deceptive.
I enjoyed it more second time.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will. It's like one of those albums that you listen to the first time, you're like, yeah, this is great. And then the more you listen to it, the more you pick up. And I think this will be like that, to be honest.
Yeah, and just sticking with more of the story then, Jessel, did you think there was anything missing from it? Or were you happy with it, the twists and turns? And, you know, obviously us not knowing, myself and yourself, not knowing anything about this, the Kree or the Skrulls, it was interesting to see how they do a switcheroo, really. With those two, you know, species, really, you go in thinking one's good, the other's bad, and then it kind of switches. There's a nice little twist.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, in my notes, I literally used the word switcheroo as well. Yeah. Like, yeah, how much I loved it, you know. I just think I loved the timeline and how it kind of jumps, like, you know, yeah, from a certain point to a certain point. And it kept me guessing because, you know, I think one of my fears going into this, because I was really knackered on Friday. It'd been a long day. My kid woke up at 5 a.m. and we had to see the 9 o'clock show. And there's a point where you're like, okay, I've waited ages to see this. I'm really excited, but I'm just tired. Please don't be like, okay, this is like the Doctor Strange thing or this is the blah, blah, blah. Just keep it fresh. And it really did. And it captivated me. And there was no point I was bored watching this film. And it was this overload of information as well. And so the way that they structured the timeline was fascinating. The way that they pulled in lots of different things. It felt like there were like multiple script writers on this, but I didn't mind basically. And it was kind of like a sort of series of different events. And I don't know if you guys have seen this film, Memento. Have you ever seen that film?
Yeah. Yes.
So, guys, have you seen Memento?
That movie's a mindfuck, mm-hmm, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. So in that film, you know, you know, it's got Guy Pearce in it. I think it's Christopher Nolan's first major film. And you're trying to, you're with this character who's trying to go back in time and kind of like figure out what's happened to him and why he's got all these tattoos on his body. And this is kind of like what it's like for Brie Larson. She's trying to figure out what's happened to her. It is a bit of a mystery. And I had no idea. So I'm going along with her and you see this from her point of view, which is why I think a lot of things felt like they might have been missed out. But because you're seeing things from her point of view, like almost all the time. Mm. So that's what I really liked about it. And like I said, I think it'll be interesting to see what I think on the second viewing, because Black Panther, I literally rushed out the next day to go and see it again, because that's how kind of it got me immediately. But this one, like, I'm just going to give it a few days and then I'll go back and see it and then see it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, go for it, Joey.
You mean just as...
As the story-wise and stuff, what did you think? The twists and so on? I mean, you probably expected... Well, I suppose it was new to you as well, because you think both of them are bad.
Well, no, both the racist Skrees and Krulls are terrible people. So don't get that twisted. I mean, for you guys, you wouldn't have known that, so it was awesome. So it's hard to put my shoes in there, but I still really liked... Again, I really liked it, because I think it just set up perfectly for... Like you were saying, Jezel, I mean, what's the next Avengers in 6 weeks? So they had to get it out, show you basically who's going to save the day type deal. And I know a lot of people won't like that, but again, you have time to dig deeper into that character. And, you know, there's going to be other characters they're going to bring along. You can't keep rolling out the same Iron Man and same, you know, same Chris Evans as Captain America. You can't just keep, they have to go away at some point. I mean, if you look at comic books now, there's so much diversity in comic books. I think that's what they're going to start turning to be quite frank. But yeah, I thought the movie was good. I thought it sets up nicely for the Avengers movie. And I think that's really what the purpose of it was for.
Yeah. And they, you know, they can make them look younger. Obviously, we know that. We've just seen a movie where they've made them younger. So if they do ever bring back Iron Man and Captain America for like a time jump movie or whatever, or they want to do X-Men, they can always make them look younger, can't they? Because a lot of people use that argument. Oh, they look too old now. But mate, the CGI nowadays is awesome. They can make them look like the 2008 Iron Man if you want. So, there's not going to be any worries about that. But let's see what happens. It's most likely they're going to get killed off, but, stick with you, Joey. Best bits then, or something you've already talked about what you didn't like in terms of the usage of some characters, but what were your best bits from the movie?
Obviously, any action scene when she realized that, actually, one of my favorite scenes is when she realized that thing on the back of her neck was suppressing her powers. And I love that when she just took it off and then she's like just destroyed. And that Annette Bening is just that's an actual thing in the comic books. That's a Kree. It's a bunch of a Kree intelligence that is AI, and she basically just destroyed that, which was awesome. I thought that was really cool. I thought some of the scenes were really neat when, remember when they're detained, and then he uses the tape to take it off of his shield badge.
Yeah.
And then they go into the next one, and she just blasts the door, and he's like, why couldn't you just do that down there? And she just gets a kick out of it.
I love the way he uses his hand to like try and mimic her. And it's like so wussy, like in a competitor.
I think stuff like that. And obviously, the action scenes were awesome. I mean, they were really cool. I liked how she went back and fought group of people that she was in.
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, it eyes light up when she was like full power, when she realized she could fly. You know, when she's falling out of the plane, and then she just like,
oh, that was the best.
When her brain just clicks and she goes, wait, I have the power, so I'm not being held back anymore. Yeah, exactly. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah,
so,
and she was really enjoying it. Like, it wasn't one of those, oh my God, what's happening? She was just like, no, fuck this. Cause they built that up totally. She's a flyer. She's a pilot. She wants to fly. And now she's getting to fly by herself without a plane. Like, it was massive. It was massive for the story. It was huge. And maybe people missed that a little bit, but that's why when she's flying, you hear all these cheers from her. And she's crazy because she's living the dream, Jessel. That point is, she's literally living the dream.
And she's been held back as a Kree, like, for quite a while now. Because, like I said, at the beginning of the film, Jude Law's telling her, control your emotions. And they won't let her progress, right? Like, you know, they keep sort of saying, no, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. And by the end of the film, like you say, she's literally just flying around, fucking shit up, basically. You know, and nothing can hold her back. And she's got this unlimited power source, effectively. If you're going, what was one of my favorite parts, again, because I hadn't seen the trailer, I had no idea. When she, I can't remember exactly what bit it is, but it's that kind of like flashback GIF kind of thing where she's a child and falls down and then she, you know, crashes the thing and then she gets back up again. That was one of the most impactful bits. I think if you're talking about emotion and impact, like on parallel with the kind of more Wonder Woman aspect of how they took it, I think that really worked for me. But then I hadn't sort of seen it a million times in a trailer. I know a lot of people said, oh, well, you know, why was it in the film? It should have just been in the trailer. I think for me, it was wonderful. It was just, you know, what certain people have to go through and then for them to kind of get that payoff at the end. It was just fantastic. To be honest, there's really not much that I didn't like about the film. It's just the overuse of just a girl in the fight scene. That's pretty much it. Like everything else, I think they did a really good job. I'm not saying this is like a 10 out of 10 film or anything like that, but it's a really solid 8 out of 10 at least, like for me. Okay. And yeah, at least. And like the more I watch it, maybe it'll get better. But it's definitely around that level for me, like for sure. It's one of the stronger Marvel films, I think. I mean, I don't know what you guys think.
Just best bits for me was just not knowing who was a Skrull at times. Once you found out that Coulson wasn't Coulson, from then on, I was just like, is that a Skrull? Everything, just like she was like always doubting people, like the scene where she doubts the neighbor is so brilliant. It's so brilliant. She's just like giving the neighbor the eyes. I was like that as well. I was like, that's the power of the Skrulls though. That was the best part. I thought one of the best bits was that obviously being introduced to them for the first time, how strong they will be or they can be. They could literally pretend to be Avengers, you know, in the future if they'd ever meet them. And that would be huge, you know, and that's where my mind was going. So I was thinking more of like, you know, oh, these guys could end up being X-Men or something just because they've seen them once and then that's it. We could just have a whole movie about Skrulls just pretending to be X-Men. But, you know, I'm being stupid now, but it's the power though there is there. The power is there. They are supremely powerful shapeshifters. You don't mess with a fucking shapeshifter, man. You just don't. You know what I mean? They're just so shady. That's so shady. But I loved it. I love that. And I do look forward to seeing where they go with the Skrulls and the Kree now, because I feel like they're going to be a massive part of the MCU going forward. So there'll be more
big story. Time.
Yeah. So I just think that's going to be really interesting. And I think there's so much possibility. It's unbelievable. Joey, you've already done best bits. So, what about the rating from your point of view? Jessel went with an 8.
I think you and I, I'll just say my own. Me and Gags Beard talked about it. I said 7.
Yeah.
But I could easily see it being an 8. I would like to watch it again. At home, like I saw it in the theater. I saw it in IMAX, and that does make a difference, obviously. But usually in the better. I just, you know, for a pure action, it 7 or 8 for me. But I'll stick with 7.
Yeah, I gave it a 6 first, 6.5 when I first watched it, and then I watched it again, and I definitely gave it a 7 second time round. It doesn't get up to the 8s and, or 9s for me, because obviously those, I love, I mean, I know people don't rate the Avengers movies, some of the Avengers movies, or the first Iron Man, stuff like that, the first Captain America, stuff like that. And those were just fantastic for me. They come up at the 8s, 9s, 10s.
Did you like it better than, I saw a lot of people not comparing the films, but I guess comparing them and, you know, like maybe on the same boat. Did you like it better than Guardians?
Ooh.
Because both good soundtracks.
I liked Guardians 1 more.
See, I thought the same thing, and then I actually watched Guardians late last night because I was having trouble with the time change here, so I couldn't sleep. So I watched it, and I'm like, you know what? I thought Captain Marvel was better.
Wow, really?
I did. Maybe that's just a recency bias. I'm not sure.
Maybe recency bias, but I just thought there was a lot more characters in that, and obviously how they were just brought together and the mixing up of them all. It felt something fresh, very, very fresh. This does feel fresh too, by the way. No doubt. This feels very fresh as well. And it's nice that we're going into a new direction of MCU. It's very exciting, actually. But it's a tough one. You know what? It's very hard to compare them if you don't watch them all, like, recently. Like, if you probably go through them, I reckon if you watch the films again, you may just order them a bit differently in every time after a new one comes out. But if I go off memory, which is shit anyway, I would probably say Guardians 1 was probably better. And also the music was unreal. I honestly thought the way they use music in Guardians is next level shit, man. I mean, it is though, even in the second one, it's just the mix of it is just unbelievable. I think one of the things that franchise has is the way they use the music. It's just next level. It mixes in just like a glove, you know? And there were bits in this that it didn't. There were bits in this that the soundtrack didn't. Or could have been a bit better, like you guys both said as well. But I think Guardians didn't miss a trick at all. So for me, Guardians would still be above Captain Marvel. But not a bad movie at all. I would, like you said, I'd give it a 7 as well. But what it did do, guys, and we have to do it, is it gives, and I'm sorry this was a pure spoiler pod. It's a pure spoiler pod. There is fucking no beating around the bush in this pod, sorry. Right? So it's a movie night.
There's no point saying it now, guys. Yeah. Jesus.
So let's get to that end credit scene because it sets it up beautifully, Jessel.
Oh, yeah.
She looks totally different as well.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got straightened hair for one.
I know.
She would have been around for, 20, 25 years.
She looks the same, though. So does she not age, Joey?
You mean, the character in the comic book?
Yeah.
Or just in general? No.
I read about this today, actually.
She does age, but not, we age. So it's, again, that's why there's so many different Captain Marvels.
Yeah, I read that she kind of will be like Thor. Like Thor's like 1500 years old or something, right? Like I think she'll kind of, once she got that power boost in her chest thing, then I think she'll kind of age along those kind of lines. So effectively, we don't really need to worry about her aging.
She looks exactly the same. So that's what I was saying. It's 20, 25 years on and she's looking exactly the fucking same. So,
skin wise, cosmic Kree powers will be.
There you go. That's what I was hoping for, the answer. So, okay. I just thought, her face to face with, the Avengers for the first time just was a lovely little teaser for the next movie. And it really got me excited, Joey.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was, and you knew she was going to pop up as soon as she, what's her face turned around, Black Widow turned around. Yeah. I was like, yeah, she's going to be there. And her first words is, where's Fury? That was pretty.
Yeah.
It gets you pumped up. Like you said, it gets you really pumped up for it.
Yeah.
And then the next one with the cat, vomiting the Tesseract was just like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, we know that the Tesseract is going to be around for a few more movies at least in the.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's what the hell is this?
Jessel, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think when she interacts with the rest of the characters in Endgame, like we said before, that she actually filmed that before she filmed Captain Marvel. So I think it's going to be fascinating seeing, on a technical level, how she kind of goes in, and then on a story level, how she kind of goes in as well, because they're going to be like, who the hell is this? They've literally never heard of this person before. And now we know a lot more about her, obviously. So it'll be interesting on that level. The really fascinating thing that just came to me whilst we were talking all of this through is that, as I sort of said repeatedly, Kevin Feige keeps saying, okay, she's the most powerful character. She's the most powerful character. And that kind of like makes me suspect something. I think it's going to be someone completely random who ends up like killing Thanos, basically. I know who I think it is, and I have no idea. I haven't never read a comic and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think it's going to be Captain Marvel at all. I think it's going to be someone random.
Go ahead.
I have a feeling that it's not even going to be a person that kills him. It's going to be a series of events that kills him in the past, that they have to go back in time or something to, you know, destroy him. And it just doesn't happen. What, he just never gets the time stones, and therefore he is never powerful. And then they go and fight him.
I'm telling you, keep an eye on the time stone. That's the key.
Yeah.
The time stone is the key. Yeah. I'm telling you, if you want to, I don't know if you had time.
Yeah, just don't worry. People will love this, man.
Yeah, because nobody touches the time stone ever in any of these movies. Not even Doctor Strange himself.
No, it's always floating.
He has it. Remember in the Doctor Strange movie, he has it in the eye of, he never touches it.
No.
Never touches it. And there's a reason why. And Jesse, you said it earlier about the one outcome. It's the one outcome. It's because I think Thanos doesn't have it. Or it was replicated. One of the two. Mm. He doesn't have it.
Wow. It's going to be so interesting to find out what happens. And a little thing I think is also Maria and Monica, they're going to be turned to dust as well. So she's going to have something to fight for too.
Oh,
in Endgame.
Yeah.
So I think that's the importance of them. I think what Nina talked about in terms of a friendship set up in this was she has to have something to avenge. That's why it's the Avengers. So I think, I think that she's not just going to turn up and say it's Fury. She's going to need more than Fury, I think, to fight. But obviously there's so much. There's like 5 movies worth of stuff with Fury probably that they're going to do that we don't know about yet in that timeline.
And they could introduce brand new characters in Endgame that don't have to be in the movie. You know what I mean? Like they could do that as well. So, they opened up everything once Doctor Strange was made. Once Doctor Strange was made, the entire universe was opened up. That's why I love the movie so much, but I digress. Sorry.
I did enjoy Doctor Strange as well, to be fair. Any final thoughts, folks, before we go? I have absolutely loved this podcast. I cannot wait to do more, Marvel stuff and DC stuff with you guys. But, Jessel, any final thoughts?
I just think that they've done a really good job. This was the 21st film in this series now, and the Avengers Endgame is going to be number 22, obviously. And for them to just keep building and building, and the backstory just keeps getting more and more diverse. And honestly, we could do like a 3-hour pod on this kind of stuff, and we have to sort of stop ourselves from talking each other up. You know?
We will be previewing Endgame in the lead up to April. So yeah, that's definitely happening.
Yeah, but I just think Captain Marvel, it's about time. Just like with Black Panther, it was about time. You know, like diversity does matter. It's not just a sort of catchphrase or a buzzword, you know. And you know, Gags, you've got a 14-year-old daughter, you've got a couple of daughters. The look on their faces and the things that they'll be reading about, getting fascinated in, what it will mean to them even more than what it means to us. We can't quantify it. We just can't understand it on a molecular level like they can. And they will just love it. And that's what I love. Like for future generations, this will be a really important touchstone.
Yeah, it's true. I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's absolutely true.
I can vouch for that. My daughters were just over the moon, especially the elder one. She just said it was perfect. That was her word. And she's a big critic of the movies because she watches them every day. Literally, when the homework's done, if she's got spare time on the weekend, what does she choose to do? Watch a rerun of any Marvel movie in this universe. Literally, that is just what she is. She is just bound by it. So when a new one's out, she just sucks it in, all of the information, and then she just reads and reads and reads, Reddit, whatever, about stuff. She's a proper nerd. So that's why she puts me right, because I don't get time to do that shit. So, any final thoughts, Joey?
No, I think what you guys said was really, really, I liked it a lot, because, you know, you do have a 14-year-old, and you want her to see people who look more like her than look more like myself. Like, I'm white, and that's, you could turn on, you know, damn near any television show that's not like BET or something like that, you're going to see, that's all you're going to see. You know what I mean? Even on BET, you see white people all the time. So it's just like, you know, you said, Jezel, it's not just, people don't just say it. You know, you have to, words only mean so much, but there are a lot of really good characters. I mean, you've seen the new Spider-Man movie that came out. I mean, Miles Morales is in it. You know, like, Peter Parker is, it'll always be Peter Parker, but Miles Morales is Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
So that things are changing. And you know, my wife is Asian. She's Filipino, and they literally just introduced a brand new Filipino, Marvel, superhero.
Wow.
So like things like that, I can show Brooklyn when she's, you know, now I could show her if I wanted to, Gags. I mean, it's cool to see that stuff. And
yeah,
I know a lot of people don't think like that because that's why a lot of this movie got a lot of criticism for just being a woman, for God's sake. And she's white. You know what I mean? Imagine if they start making mass production of movies that are, you know, there's no, like Black Panther was a great movie, and there was only, what, one white guy in it? Two white guys? Like that really mattered. I mean, one was a bad guy and one was the, who's that? That other guy,
a colonizer, I think is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, that's exactly the word I'm looking for. But the other guy who plays in the, he's British. I don't know that guy's name, but it doesn't, I can't remember actor's name. Who it was. Yeah. He's British, right?
Yeah.
Is it British or I don't know if English? He
became famous in The Office, in the UK version of The Office.
Yeah. Oh, see, I've never even seen that. So yeah, okay. I got you. So, but yeah, I know
I totally agree with you. Like, for example, the Miles Morales stuff, how, you know, Sony have moved on another level by saying, we're talking with Marvel and saying, right, Miles Morales, we're going to make him our Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse stuff. So, you know, that was a massive hit, you know, won an Oscar as well for everything. It's just gone to another level now. The Spider-Man stuff, they're trying to expand it out as much as possible because they have to. How long can you keep going with Peter Parker, you know?
At the end of the day. Yeah, you can't.
And it's got to be interesting, and there's so much more out there. Why not expand it?
Oh, it's a massive
It sets
universe.
It up for the movies too, right? Because obviously,
sure,
you want to get it out to the younger generation, because then as they're growing up, they're like, yeah, I know who Miles Morales is. And you know what? That's a fucking cool Spider-Man. I'm watching that movie. Because that's how you set it up, right? For the future. You've got to go to the youth. Because by the time they're older, they're ready for it. So I think it's very clever from Marvel, Sony, from whoever's involved in these things. Very, very clever. And I think they're setting it.
Sorry, if I could just jump in on a point that Joe made as well. Just my last point, basically. This is my Dave Hendrick kind of rant.
Oh, shit.
I won't do the accent or anything. But if you're the kind of person who review bombs on Rotten Tomatoes, and comes up with lengthy posts sabotaging things and creates tweet bots that attack positive posts of Captain Marvel and goes on YouTube and does all this kind of stuff and like really, really kind of gets upset and starts, you know, sabotaging other things. Have a word with yourself. In the words of Dave Hendrick, have a word with yourself, because there are so many more important things in life right now. And like, I just don't get why people just hate to see other, you know, whether it's a gender or race, succeed. Like, it's just bizarre. Like, do you not have better things to do with your day than just to go on the internet and create this mindless drivel and bring other people down? Like, why are you doing it? I just don't get it. Like, get a life. Seriously.
I think that's a great place, Joey, to finish the pod. And
agree too.
Say thank you to both of you for coming on and doing this short notice. And we've gone, you know, 90 minutes here. I bet you'd rather listen to this than watch an excruciating Liverpool match. No, I'm joking. thank you so much to both of you. It was fantastic. 90 minutes have flown by. We are moving away from movie night on the box, guys. Something called AI. It's going to be a new infotainment kind of show. All the entertainment, you know, stuff into one podcast. I'll be hosting load. Jessel, once he's a bit more free, he's been moving house and stuff, taking an age, but you know, it's not his fault, don't worry. He'll be part of it as well. So we're not actually going to have a single host. It's going to be a pod where a lot of us will be in the same group and we'll be talking about what we want to do, plans for shows and stuff. and then we'll just get people together and do the show and rotate hosts and stuff like that, and we'll try and make this work. But we want to kind of move it on so that we can have one pod where we talk about everything and it doesn't have to be stuck. So we can shift. There can be pods where we just talk about a month and what's coming out and shows and movies and everything. And just like, for example, April may just need an April pod because Game of Thrones. So, we can talk so much more with just one podcast. And, that's what we want to try and do, because we have got a couple of big months coming up and we want to be able to talk about all the television shows, all the Marvel movies, all the DC, because there's Shazam coming out, which I'm really, really looking forward to, Joey. And I'm going to need you for that as well.
I'm not looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to it because I like Zachary Levy as well. So.
Yeah, that looks awful. But if you want to talk about it, I'll watch it. But
you're going to have to watch it. I'm going to force you to watch it. I'm going to book your ticket. But anyway.
It's just a ripoff of Marvel. That's all it is. But that's for another time. So
that's for another time. But yeah, you got all this to look forward to. So yeah, we'll be back very, very soon with that new, brand new podcast. It will be right here on the AI channel. You'll find it in the app as well. But yeah, chat to you all very, very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.